The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
I had a little email here from ZC Social Media, who's a big friend of our show.
Yeah.
And she says, are you thinking it's time to get organised with my social media? Which we all are, aren't we, Maria?
Oh, that was pointed, wasn't it? Oh,
wow. But what does that look like, they ask? How do you go about planning ahead for posting your social media? Where do the ideas come from? How much can you do in advance rather than the spur of the moment when you think of something? I completely understand, says Zoe. It's hard to find time for planning your social media along with everything else you have to do. So she says, that's why I've created the Social Media Success Planner to help you plan your social media content throughout the year. You can pre-order from October the 31st. Is that today, isn't it? And pay just £47 plus postage and packing for the standard planner and £67 plus postage and packing for the Planner Plus, which also gives you access to monthly content planning sessions throughout 2024. And she says, here's what you get. So a planner to help you get creative with your social media content ideas, the ability to save a ton of time by using the planner to post, to plan your posts 90 days ahead. Important awareness days and dates so you don't miss them with themed opportunities, such as Halloween, I suppose. A yearly overview to plan key dates and occasions in advance for these important campaigns. Methods to help you get creative and produce engaging content. A whole host of free resources. You'll also have access to all the new Planner website. A brand new bonus this year for all the Planner users. Somewhere to track all those important analytics. And a content planning workshop in December with Zoe, which is worth £299. So you get all that. If you go to zcsocialmedia.com and put a little / social media success planner 2024, you'll find out more details.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Coming up, this is a way off, but it's worth knowing about now, is the Kent and Medway Business Summit. It's taking place, as it does every year, at the University of Kent, Kent Business School. That's a... in Canterbury, and it's taking place on the 12th of January, bringing together business, academia and strategic partners. You can be part of the conversation. The tickets are on sale now, which is why we're telling you about it. It's a fantastic event. There's normally 400 or 500 people there, and as they say, it's an opportunity for everybody from business, government, academia to talk to each other about the immediate future and what we can expect. 12th of January 2024.
And Martin Reeves and the Vandellas.
It was Martin's birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Happy birthday, Martin.
Well, I've just belatedly wished him happy birthday. I can't even remember what I was doing yesterday. I was with gardeners, that's what I was doing. Yeah. I'd love a Business Bunker shout. I've got a blister, actually, because I was gardening.
Don't you do that to me.
Yeah, no, blister.
I don't care you got a blister.
And I was saying to Maria...
You see what she did to me then?
Earlier. Got a blister in an unfortunate place. But every time you put a plaster on, even waterproof ones, they just come off. It's very annoying. And then your skin's all wrinkled underneath. But I wash my hands a lot, I've realised. They just come off. Even the chef ones, the blue ones.
She's such a wimp.
Look, it's very sore.
When I last cut myself, I put my own stitches in.
I know, you're very good at that, aren't you? I should have come round.
Yeah.
Anyway, Martin Reeves says, I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out. And he's very aptly done the hashtag BBunker. And he says, I've just got back from a walk with Lainey, who's the friend's cockapoo that we're looking after. He's over the moon about this cockapoo.
I know, I've read it.
And the friend has, I think, gone for a procedure. And so they're looking after this cockapoo. And he said, I've only known her for 24 hours and she won't leave my side. My kids love her as I do. Will be hard to give her back. So you can follow Martin. He's at Collector's Buddy. He's the founder of Collector's Buddy. And he finds all these TV and film props. He's based in Ashford. And you can go to his website, which is collectorsbuddy.org.uk. So I texted him back or tweeted him or ex-twittered him, whatever it is, and said, you need to get a rescue greyhound. and sent him pictures of my lovely Darcy.
That's nothing like a cockapoo.
Much sweeter, though, because
they're
it's
not,
a rescue.
They're horrible dogs.
No, it's got it's a rescue. So they had a horrible life. So you're doing a really good thing. Ding.
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah. And then it eats all your shoes.
Yeah, yeah, but it's got better. It's got better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was crying when I left this morning, though. I warned the new husband. He was on a Zoom. I said, the dog is goosey.
Mm-hmm. DG East has been on, finally preparing to deliver a new vehicle to a long-standing customer. It's only 11 months late. Terry, I know the feeling. That's a Peugeot EV van they've delivered. And the car industry's still in terrible state. It's just shortages, semiconductor shortages are most of the problem.
But they've been going on since the lockdowns, haven't
they? Yeah, well...
So why are we still
Most of the automotive industry semiconductors were produced in Ukraine.
Oh, okay. So...
And they ain't bothering to produce much at the moment because they're too busy hiding in a bomb shelter.
I was looking at where the leggings I'm wearing today. I was looking at where they were made. I was look where they're made. And
isn't that difficult while you got them on?
Yeah, it's like...
You have to bend double.
It's when I was putting a leg
in. They put the labels in the back. It's the wrong place to put the labels, really, isn't it? Yeah. Unless you're double jointed, really.
I know. I was looking... It's got one of those awful grow-on waistbands, whatever they are. I hate those. They're all really... But it was made in Lithuania, which I thought was very interesting.
Okay.
I think it was, anyway. I can't remember. It was 8 o'clock this morning. I think it was Lithuania.
A reason why
I'll
you
let
looking?
You look later. Yeah, I don't want to buy clothes made in China.
Oh,
I
okay.
refuse.
But you're already. But hold on a minute. You were already wearing them.
Yeah, I'd already bought them.
Well, what are you going to do?
But these are like, years old. This is before China.
If you look in your pants and it says China, what are you going to do?
Throw them away.
Post them back to China.
If you want me to speak Spanish. Now I go into a shop and I actually look at the label first. And
yeah, that's okay for what you're going to buy.
Yeah. I've already got it, I'm not going to throw it away, no.
Yeah, so why bother to look?
Because I was interested. I got that. I'm just that looking interesting kind of gal. You know, I'm inquisitive.
Weirdo.
Just call me inquisitive.
Weirdo.
Yeah. And I was interested because they're often made in Turkey now, I've noticed, and some Bangladesh and things like that. I like that. But I went into New Look and put a coat back because it was made in China. And I put
did
it
you
back.
Get it from New Look in the first place?
No, I put it back. I didn't get it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't. I know someone who used to go to charity shops, buy a coat, and then take it back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
What, to a charity shop?
No, to the store that it
really?
Was originally bought from. Yeah.
That's fraud.
Exactly.
I don't.
That's why I was asking you when you said you put it back. I said, did it come from there in the first place?
No.
Right. No, it didn't. It came from a charity
You're
shop.
You're trying to trick me.
Am I?
Yeah. I haven't had coffee yet, so be careful. We got a storytellers connecting through art. I like this. The Power of Stories, a captivating group exhibition curated by Kent Creative, our friends, celebrating the connection between art and storytelling, is going to open at the Beanies Special Exhibition Gallery in winter. We're not in winter yet, are we? We're in autumn. Through the works of 23 Kent-based contemporary artists across various disciplines, Storytellers explores the idea that artworks convey narratives, trigger emotions, and inspire discussions. So I hear you ask how we find out about this more. So the artist talks will take place during the exhibitions. For opportunities to listen to their stories and ask questions, please go to www.ticketsource.co.uk/Kent-creative. Visitors, they say, will have the opportunity to access the narratives through written descriptions and audio files of the artists discussing their work, offering an intimate glimpse into the thoughts, emotions and inspirations that fueled their works. It's going to be 2nd of December to the 25th of February next year. Admission is free, and it's at the Beanie House of Art and Knowledge in Canterbury. So thank you, Kent Creative, for that.
Fabulous, thank you. Do you know what? We're going to talk to our next guest.
Yeah, let's.
It's an absolute pleasure and privilege to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah.
Maria Wilson of Saxon HR. Maria, welcome back. Almost a year to the day since you last joined us when you just launched your business.
Hello, and thank you. Yes, it was, I think it was the 30th of October last year.
It was, yeah. We're nothing if not regular.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to coincide with my 1 year anniversary.
Absolutely. And it's a pleasure to have you back and to see you still in business and thriving a year on, because the first year in business for startup businesses is always a difficult time. So we want to hear about your year and your journey. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about, for those that don't remember a year back, you know, like Jules, who can't remember last week.
Or even this morning.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Maria and then tell us about Saxon HR.
Okay, so my career, I've always lived in Kent, right. Very much like Sue. I've always lived in Kent and currently living in Sittingbourne, but I grew up in Dover. Mm-hmm. And I've worked in HR for the last 25 years, but I started my career as a PA to an employment lawyer.
Right, okay.
For Fairly Page Solicitors in Canterbury.
Right.
I decided...
Who was it with, sorry?
Fairly Page.
Oh, Fairly Page, wow.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well known throughout the area.
Yeah.
And I, as I said, I've worked in various industries, so food retail, hospitality, the NHS, the care sector, those in the last sort of 13 years, so quite challenging industries. Mm. And I decided to set up my business probably in the summer of last year when, you know, although it had been a passion and something that I really wanted to do for about sort of 8 years, wasn't the right time, wasn't the right place. However, last year the opportunity did come up,
right.
And I went full time with my business on the 24th of October last year, so just over a year now.
Fantastic. And you joined us on the 30th of October last year to tell us all about the fact that you were going to launch this business, and then here you are a year later, thriving and doing very well. Kind of talk us through how that year has unfolded and if there were times when you thought, oh my God, this is the wrong thing to have done, or wow, this is brilliant, or just talk us through the year.
Oh, it's been a roller coaster. I think
I can imagine.
For any business owner, their first couple of years, it's really hard, isn't it, at times? And you feel like a roller coaster of emotions. And absolutely, I've experienced that myself. I think the first sort of 6 months are always the hardest. You know, how am I going to get business? How am I going to get clients? And it's very much about a lot of social media. So LinkedIn.
I see what you did then.
Not Twitter.
Not Twitter, no. And I'm just building up, you know, lots of networking, getting in touch with lots of old connections, making sure you're building those relationships. And just word of mouth, that's how business in my industry definitely starts to kind of build momentum. So I've done a lot of that. I obviously joined the Kent Chamber of Commerce as well and a couple of other networking groups.
Right.
And it has been absolutely an amazing year, to be really honest with you. I've had some times where, especially like the summertime, for example, or those first few months, it was like, have I done the right thing? Yes, I have done the right thing. I've absolutely done the right thing. So you do go through that sort of wave.
It's incredibly difficult, isn't it? When you start a business, you've got no income, you've got all the start-up costs. Even with a service business where you don't need to spend a lot of capital equipment, you've still got start-up costs. You've still got, you know, you've got to take out insurance policies. You've got to, pay for different memberships and things like that. So you've got startup costs and no income, and you go, right, all I need is to earn some money to pay the mortgage at the end of this month.
It was a massive lifestyle change for myself, my husband and my two children. I worked as a HR director in my previous role, so I was on a pretty good salary. So going from that to practically nothing, and then all the costs, like say the first startup costs, was just a massive change for us as a family. Resilience, perseverance, support from my husband, having to, you know, I've got a 14 and a 12-year-old. Those are my children.
Send them out to work.
Yeah, and they don't understand the change. They really don't understand the change, but we get there. And the last, I think, probably probably the early part of the year, things started to really pick up. Before the summer holidays, it was, you know, really doing quite well in the business. And I was at a point where I was thinking, I need to take on some freelancers to help.
Yeah.
The summer went completely quiet. My first year in business, my first summer in business, and I thought, what is going on? It was really quiet.
Yeah.
Thankfully, September came and it has picked up tremendously.
It's one of those funny things. My very first business, I worked as an independent management consultant. Mm-hmm. And the problem that you had all the time is you get a gig. Yeah. And in my case, some of them lasted 2, 3, 4 months because you were doing big, research projects and what have you, which is great. Interesting. All the rest of it, traveling all over the world, working with some interesting organizations, looking at why their organization didn't work on that. But the problem is, while you're doing that, you're not doing anything else. And when a gig comes to an end, yeah, I've got no work. I've got no work. For, you know, so then you spend all your time trying to generate a new customer. Yeah. And at some point you might get one, and then you go through the whole chain all over again.
Yeah.
Where you go through this boom and bust thing every few months. Mm. It's really hard work that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think doing proposals and all of that can take so much time, can't it? And then they haven't got the budget. You know, it doesn't meet the budget doesn't meet your budget.
So. I'll tell you my favourite one. I did get paid for this. I got paid a lot of money, but I won't tell you the name of the company because you would know them. They're a big company. They hired me to find out why they were having so many problems internally with their organisation. And I travelled around their offices all around Europe for 6 months, interviewing people, writing reports and all the rest of it. And I wrote my report, and I was as fair as I could be, but I was reporting what I'd been told and also what I discovered for myself and all the rest of it. And I walked into the chief executive's office, and he said, right, have you got the report for me? And I went, yeah. And he said, cut to the chase, who's the problem? And I just looked at him. I didn't even say it. I gave him the report. He didn't even open the first page. He ripped it in half, threw it in a bin, and said, your check will be in the post.
No.
No way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. He paid me $75,000 for that. And, you know, he didn't need to because he knew what the problem was in the first place. It's him.
And that's the thing. And that's kind of what I say to my clients as well. You know, the relationship that I build up working in HR is that, you know, I'm like that trusted person, their trusted partner for them in their business. And there are going to be occasions where I'm going to be feeding back, or I'm going to be speaking to them or communicating things to them that they may not be particularly happy about, or it might not be particularly positive. But that's the relationship that I want to have, and I you know, pride myself on with that integrity with my clients. And if they're not comfortable with that right at the beginning, that then they're not the client for me. And that's really important that I'm able to be very open and transparent with them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
What kind of things are you brought in for, Maria?
A number of things. I call it, it's kind of like a two-prong sort of approach. The reactive stuff, so things like investigations, disciplinaries, grievances. I've had a complaint, somebody's performance issue, or the proactive stuff. So, for example, project work. You know, we're having a particular client has high turnover of employees, so they want to get to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
They want to understand, so I go in, look at what, you know, try and find some trends and identify what the problems are, and then I report back with recommendations and an action plan.
Because that's a huge thing, isn't it? High turnover. You can see that with some businesses, and you just know that something's not quite right.
Yeah.
And of course, taking on new people takes time and effort. So that sounds like a really good
Absolutely.
Thing to be on.
Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, I love the variety in the role and the work that I do. You know, it's not just I focus on one area. There's quite a wide sort of general sort of element to my role. So I love that flexibility.
Absolutely. And you've kind of intimated while you were talking there about the different things you've done to generate business. But it's an interesting thing as a small service company. In an industry, without being read, there are quite a few HR consultants around. And, you know, there are different levels of that as well. There are specialist law firms that specialize in HR. There are HR consultants. in terms of trying to find businesses, do you have a particular target market? You know, talking to Sue, she specializes in, you know, travel. She's a VAT expert, yeah, and Genius and Maven, but she specializes in travel and charities at the moment. Do you have a similar kind of ethos where there's a specialist area that you target, like care homes or something like that? Yeah. Something that, yeah.
So my background for the last 13 years of my 25-year career has been in the NHS and the care industry. So those are my niche sort of areas.
Yeah.
However, it kind of transcends over to charities quite a lot. So I have a number of clients who are charities.
Okay.
Often they are supporting children with learning disabilities or adults with mental health problems. So it's an easy transition for the skills that I have and understanding some of the challenges that they have within that industry. So that's probably my area of specialism. However, I don't work exclusively for the care industry or charities. I have quite a diverse client base, you know, anything from insurance, travel, construction. So it's quite a diverse area.
It's interesting, isn't it? As I said earlier when I was talking to Sue, I'm a non-executive director of four charities. I've got to be careful here. The opportunity to get into HR difficulties in a charity is quite large because of the nature of what most charities do, you know, in terms of helping people with different issues. There's a potential to create problems, if you see what I mean. I can't put it any more delicately than that. It's not a surprise to me that a huge number of charities need help. Yeah. And most larger or even fairly small charities have an HR manager. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's, you know, when you've got a particular set of issues that you need to resolve. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, if we're talking about a charity that cares for children or adults, you know, you've got the safeguarding element. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know, it's having that specialist understanding and having that experience within that industry that is very favourable with somebody like my background.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I have just been asked to become a trustee for a charity, actually, that I, right at the very, very beginning, I did provide some training to, so I am definitely considering that. Right. And it is something that I would like to do, definitely.
It's interesting. It's always interesting. I get, one of the charities that I'm an NED for, they have, a quality, it's not the Quality Care Commission, but it's a similar organization, that, sends me a regular email that says, these are the policies you need to be aware of. They send that email once a week and there's never less than 57 different policy documents in it. And they expect me to read it every week and I never go, nah, I ain't. I don't care. I don't care if I'm responsible as it. I'm not reading 57 policy documents every week. I'm really not.
I can understand. It's really in depth and there's a lot to cover and there's a lot, you know, from the safeguarding.
Exactly. And you understand why those policies exist because they're all safeguarding policies. They're all, how do you handle when this situation arises and that situation arises and how the staff, you know, what's the reporting structure when these kind of things, you understand the need for it all, but it just shows you how much there is there to do.
And I think that's why clients, of that particular industry like to work with me, because I understand that challenge and the depth of the challenges that they face.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sort of ties in quite nicely. We were able to I can support them quite effectively.
Absolutely. I want to kind of change tack a little bit now, because you mentioned when you started a business and as you unrolled during your first year, you joined Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, and you've also done a bit of networking. How have you found that?
Initially, networking just filled me with dread and fear. You know, walking into a room of sort of 80 people or 80 plus people was just not something that I was used to. You know, when you work in HR for so long, you're in-house and you don't really need to network because you are employed by that person.
You've got enough work already.
Exactly. So you don't have the opportunity or the need to network. You know, the odd kind of training session or face-to-face kind of interactive, you know, workshop, but that was about the limit. I found that quite daunting at first, but you kind of get into the swing of it really, really quickly, and I really enjoy it now. And you know, like I said, I've apart from the Kent Chamber, I have a couple of other one very, very informal and one sort of more structured group that are a networking group that I'm a member of, and I really enjoy it. And it does help to build those relationships, and you know, recommendations and referrals come through there from just just talking about the chamber, there are people there that you've built trust and that relationship with, and they, you know, I've had some referrals and recommendations through there, and it's great, you know, and you could do the same back for people.
Absolutely.
So it's a support network as well, really. As a business owner, you're on, I'm on my own, and there's a lot of individual sort of self-employed people as well, and it's just great to see those familiar faces and chat and talk about kind of how they're doing. So it's that sort of support element as well.
It's interesting, isn't it, how being a small business owner is actually quite a lonely profession. It's just, especially in the early days of a business, when you can't even tell people what you're going to do because you're still kind of getting it together. And you don't want to oversell it or anything, or give anything away. It can be quite lonely to sit there with nobody to really bounce these things off of, you know, in the same business. You know, you've got a partner or a spouse that I'm sure would probably listen to some of it, but, you know, it's not, you know, if it's not their field as well, then all they can do is empathize with you rather than anything else. So it's quite a lonely thing to do.
It is. And I miss having a team of people around me. I, having worked, like I say, in HR, most of the positions that I've had over the last sort of 25 years have been as part of a team. I've headed a team. So just bouncing ideas, brainstorming, just someone to talk to about certain things or challenges if having a not so good day. So have definitely missed that sort of working on my own and being on my own. But I think HR can be very lonely anyway, because, you know, when you're supporting a client and a company, you're kind of sitting on the edge. You're part of the team, but you're not part of the team. So it can be quite lonely.
There's this funny thing about HR where it has to maintain some degree of independence. Otherwise, it's not considered, you know, right thing, you know, because you're not independent enough. So again, that kind of moves you towards a kind of loneliness scenario.
It can do, but I think I'm used to it, and you build that resilience over the years. And like I say, you do have people at home that, you know, you can just talk to. They don't necessarily understand fully what you do.
They just nod sagely and go, oh yeah.
Pretending that he understands.
Cool. I need to ask you this. Where are you based?
So I know where you're going with this. So I live in Sittingbourne, and my client base is the southeast. But I work at home a couple of days a week. However, I have recently over the summer taken up, become a member of the co-working space at Island Works, and it is.
Oh, wow! That's wonderful.
What a coincidence! but it, yeah, little kind of. I think it's just fantastic, and it's such a beautiful setting. It really is. I can get my best work done in there because it's so calm and lovely.
I would say this, wouldn't I? Because I own it, but it is. The building itself is stunning, and I don't take any credit for that. The Dockyard Preservation Trust spent £9.8 million refurbishing that building. But not only does it look stunning, but you're absolutely, I love being in there. Of all the places that I own, you know, where I run things, I love being in Island Works because the atmosphere in there is just so calm. I suppose because it's an ex-church, it's a church. It has that feel about it, doesn't it? It's just
calmness. Calm. I'm going there tomorrow, funnily enough. I've haven't been able to go for a couple of weeks because I've been so busy, and I've been out with meetings and client visits for the last couple of weeks or so. It's been really busy. But I am going to be spending the day there tomorrow.
Sharon, bring in the bananas. Maria's coming. We need banana and honey toasties.
And the Nutella, please. But yeah, I'm off there tomorrow, and I've got a lot of work that I need to kind of do, and that's my perfect place to do it. Mm. I love it there. Mm.
Thank you for that. We had to get her to do an advert for it, really, didn't we? So, the end of your first year, it's been quite successful, really, hasn't it?
I'd like to think it has.
Yeah, it has.
I'm still standing.
Absolutely.
I'm still smiling.
Yeah.
And it's got busy. You know, a year on from where I started with just one client to having supported over 30 clients. Now, some of them are, you know, retained clients and, you know, continuous. What some of them have been one-offs, just sort of the odd project, because they've been quite small. But you talked about a pipeline, and I think that's been the biggest learning, because if you do too much networking and then you get clients, it's trying to find the balance. You get lots of clients, you've got lots of work, and then I call it the fit famine or feast kind of syndrome.
Absolutely.
You're then busy doing all the work because you've got this work come in and these projects and these clients, and then they come to an end, and then you're wondering where's the next bit of work. So you have to balance the two. It is quite hard to do that.
absolutely. And you made reference to this earlier, and it's something that I find interesting, in that you were looking to collaborate with people.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this yesterday at Christchurch, when people were going, well, how do you do this and how do you do that? And I go, so they were saying things like, if you've got no money to start a business, how do you buy capital equipment? I go, well, you don't. Yeah. The whole point is you don't buy it. If you haven't got the money, you can rent it. You can go around auction sites looking for second-hand stuff, especially the bailiffs have
bought in. Taking from other small businesses.
Yeah, but more than that, you can collaborate.
Yes.
So, and I'm going to give an example. There was a lad there that wanted to do corporate embroidery, but an embroidery machine would cost, you know, £1,000 or whatever. All right, there's two easy ways of doing that. You can go to a lot of auctions and find a cheap second-hand one. You can rent a machine. Or how about finding someone that already does it and get them to do the embroidery for you and just add a markup to it until you've earned enough money to buy your own machine?
Yeah.
Or if they haven't got enough work, ask if you can rent their machine for a day to do the work yourself. There are lots of ways of doing things that involve collaboration.
Yes.
And one of the things, you can ignore this, one of the things I don't like about lefties, is they think that free markets are all about dog eat dog. And they couldn't be more wrong if they tried. Most of the free market stuff these days is about collaboration.
Yeah.
Even with people in the same business as you, there are more opportunities to collaborate than there are to fight each other. You know, back in the day, that was true. I once did a consultancy assignment for PepsiCo. Yeah. And you walk in their office and they had a vision. Back in the 80s, we used to do vision statements and all that nonsense. They had a big vision statement on the wall. What do you think it said? It was only had two words.
I wouldn't have a clue, but I'd imagine it's very much about collaborating with others.
No, this is in the 80s.
About themselves, just team, they're themselves.
I'll tell you what it said. Their vision statement just said, kill Coke.
Oh. Well, that was like Bloomberg in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Their main thing was kill Reuters, Reuters. Yeah. Every morning, kill Reuters.
And that's where this view of a dog-eat-dog world came from, because back then it was very much like that. But it hasn't been like that for 25 years. Yeah. There's, especially amongst smaller businesses, there's a lot more collaboration. Yes. There's a lot more working in conjunction with people, as it should be. Yeah.
Absolutely agree with that. When you are starting out as a HR consultant, often you can do associate work. You can make yourself available to other consultants, established consultants or consultancy companies as well. So you can do some freelance work, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have built probably three or four really good HR consultants that I collaborate with or that I have utilised or have utilised me sort of in our network. And it's not about competition. It's about supporting each other and it's about companionship as well, because you can kind of bounce off ideas. You can, you're in the same boat. You're all in it together, and it's friendships come out of it.
Absolutely.
As well.
It's interesting, isn't it? I'm a big history fan, and the medieval trade guilds are a big example of that. You know, back in the day, everybody that was a saddle maker belonged to the saddle making guild, and everybody that was a, you know, I don't know, an armourer belonged to the armourers' guilds, and everyone that was a grocer belonged to the guild of grocers. Yeah. So this idea of competition is a very short lived kind of period in history when people were fighting each other for market share. But for most of, market history, it's been about collaboration. And I'm glad to see that that's back. Cool.
Yeah, it's a very short-sighted view otherwise, isn't
it? Yeah, it is,
You've got to be aware of your competition, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know...
But that could be a positive thing, you
know.
You look at your competition, go, what are they doing? You know, what's working and what isn't? What are they offering that I could offer? And it's not only that, it's all, oh, what they do is really good. Mm-hmm. I could offer them to a client. Yeah, through me, that says, you know, if you want this, then I can bring you that. Yeah. Absolutely. So, 1 year.
Yep.
Yeah, just about to embark on your second year. Mm-hmm. What are your hopes, wishes and desires for your second year, Maria?
So for me, and I get asked this question quite often, actually, it's, for me, I want to grow the business. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a point now where I'm taking on bigger projects and I'm able to utilize sort of freelancers. But I would really like to see myself growing over the next sort of 2 to 3 years to having sort of 2 or 3 employees.
Okay.
That's what I would really like to. And I'd really want to be known in the area as the go-to HR consultant company as well.
I mean, that point in a business when you take on your first member of staff is a real, it's a real signpost of one, that you're succeeding, and two, that you just brought on yourself a whole heap of other problems, even as an HR consultant, that all of a sudden you're doing payroll and workplace pensions and all of that other nonsense that you have to do when you employ someone, and
it's
an HR consultant.
Very scary, the thought of that. But I think, not as scary as giving up a full-time job and going self-employed for me. And, you know, the advantage is that I can deal with the people issues, can't I?
Exactly, yeah. You don't have a problem with employee contracts, appraisals and all the other stuff that the rest of us suffer from.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. But it's a positive point. You know, I'm not saying it's a negative thing. It's a growth point. It's that point in your history when in 20 or 30 years' time, when you've made your billions and you come back to write a history of the company, that first employee always plays a very prominent role because that's taken you from something to something else.
It's a huge milestone, isn't
it? It is. That's the word I was looking for. It's a milestone.
I've had a couple of milestones in the last sort of 12 months, but certainly for the next coming 12 months, that next big milestone will be big enough that the business has grown big enough to be able to employ somebody, even on a part-time basis. That's the next milestone for me.
Well done.
Fantastic. We wish you continued success, Maria. Thank you for joining us. Give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out more about the services you offer.
Okay, it's www.saxonhrconsultancy.co.uk.
Fantastic. Maria, thank you so much. We wish you continued success for your second year. We'll put in the diary October the 30th next.
And I'll retweet the
2024. Yeah. See if you could do a tweet between now and then.
Thank you, I will. I'll be back.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had an ex-Twitter from Wayne Cunnington. He says, another great show today, guys, and welcome back, Maria, to the Bee Bunker Show. I didn't know about Apple's shocking con with a wrapped safari. Wow.
Yeah.
He's shocked.
Yeah.
And then lovely...
He shouldn't be.
No, well, exactly. We're sort of learning more every day about how we're being controlled. Tracy Ferguson, you can find her on Tazi64, T-A-Z-I 64, on the X Twitter. She says, we're on our way home from a beautiful wedding in a stunning location, and we'll look forward to catching up with the show in the next few days. And she's put pictures of this location, and it is truly beautiful. And she looks stunning. She's got a lovely red fascinator, and Mikey looks good too.
Welcome back. We might have an email about it somewhere. Tracy's running a craft workshop at Island Works in November as well.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find one.
You look it out while I read. So I'll catch up with some of these tweets. Tenterton Chamber of Commerce said, hi Paul, please could you give a shout out to a busy chamber team carrying out a survey of the high street ready for the installation of our Christmas trees. If you've never been to Tenterton during the Christmas period, it is fabulous because we have such a broad, wide, European-style high street for most of it, with trees either side, which they hang lights from, and Christmas trees. It is stunning. Mm. It is lovely, even if I say so myself.
So it's Hythe.
Yeah.
I love Hythe.
Do you? You've never mentioned that.
Yeah, I do
apart
love
from
Hythe.
832 times.
I do love it. The date now confirmed for Tasty 64, Tracy. Very first mixed media creative workshop, sharing her joy in this activity with others, is Saturday the 25th of November. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it is at the famous Island Works at Dockyard Church, Sheerness, and it's a £30 introductory offer. So that's the 25th of November, 10 till 4. And Tracy has some beautiful artwork, so you'll learn lots with that.
I've got a tweet from a dog.
Oh, yeah. Is it Casey Canine?
Casey Canine, yeah. Hi, Paul and your little helper. That'll be you, Jules. Please, can you give a shout-out to a greyhound still recovering from a poorly paw? What's he done to his paw?
Well, I've just bought slippers for Darcy because Shay and Mimi's new flat, apartment, let's call it.
You've bought slippers for your dog. Well, you've bought slippers for your dog.
Nice polished floors, and she's got quite long claws.
Slippers for your dog.
So I bought doggy slippers so that she doesn't scratch their floor. Because they're going to be very house proud now, you can imagine. I'd be house proud if I paid that much for it.
A couple of years ago, I was walking down the Pantiles in Tunbridge Wells, yeah? And there was a shop, yeah? And it said doggy shop.
Mm.
Oh, that's a bit limited, a bit niche. Yeah. I look in the window. I absolutely got it. They sold collars and leads and a few other things. And I'm looking at the prices.
Yeah.
What idiot pays that? Yeah. I've just discovered an idiot that buys dog slippers. That's what pays that kind of money.
Because they do can stretch, because they do the little greyhound stretch. Now,
you want to get your own back.
What?
And eat her slippers.
Yeah, I could, couldn't I? Now, there's an idea. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah.
Casey Canine 2014, who is a greyhound rescue, he has tweeted in and he says, hello, Jules. I do not eat shoes. I'm a very well-behaved boy. So there are some well-behaved greyhounds. I managed to get one that's anxious. So there you are. But really, all of this is for... charity buddy Martin to rescue a greyhound. I'm telling him
he's got a cockapoo at the moment.
Yeah, but that's only a daycare.
Yeah. Right, Marsh Network, the breakfast meeting of the Marsh Network, where you can meet up with people to network, make new contacts, give and receive support, develop and grow your business. Come along and tell us about your business, charity or CIC, and what support, clients or engagement you're looking for. Enjoy an excellent full English breakfast. Other options are available at the lovely Ship Inn in Dymchurch on Thursday, November the 30th. It's 7:45 a.m. to 9:15. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada, you can find the details and book your place. The Ship Inn in Dymchurch won that television programme, didn't it?
Did it?
Yeah, no, that one about bed and breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
What was it called?
Goldilocks and Three Bears.
It wasn't.
Gogglebox, wasn't it?
No, not Gogglebox.
Oh, they were on Gogglebox, weren't they?
No. They
were in a bed.
That's them. Thank you, Maria. There's someone around here with a brain.
I don't watch reality TV, but I vaguely remember.
Four in a bed. They won Four in a Bed, the Ship Inn at Dymchurch.
So that means they were very clean. And is that where they go around and look at?
You have other... bread and breakfast or Airbnb owners, and they judge each other.
I have seen it. I used to like the only reality shows I like actually is quite like that one, and also what was the cook one where they all do dinner parties?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
I used to watch that a lot, but then they started bringing celebrities in, and then it got a bit silly, and I stopped watching. But right at the beginning, it was good, but then they actually brought in people that they wanted each other to hate, and then I went off it. Can't remember what it was called. With Dave, what's his name, who does the voiceovers. Well, it's hilarious.
It's like the lady that we had on from Big Brother.
Yeah, yeah, well, she had Penny.
Penny Ennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the first people on Big Brother. And
she's written a book about it.
The destruction of her life after the show. Mm. Because, of course, she wasn't aware what people were talking about while she was in the house. And by the time she got out, it was already a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she couldn't undo what they'd said.
Penny basically. Ennis. Mm. She's written a book. And I can't remember the name of it. I've got it on my stairs at home, actually, because I don't have a bookcase in my house.
Do you need a bookcase?
It was all window in my house, isn't it? I've got no space. But it's called Behind the Mirror, isn't it?
Or yeah, Behind the Mirror.
Penny Ellis, and she lives in Hastings.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Sheerness, and we've not mentioned the Sheerness Ironworks at all on this programme, have we?
No, hardly.
But the Sheerness Dockyard Trust AGM is taking place at Ironworks. On this Saturday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And the public are welcome. If you want to come along, I shall be going. So if you want to come along, campusradio.co.uk/calendar, and you can book a place there. It's free to come along.
West Kent Business announces West Kent Expo 2024. Mm. And they are, it'll be a business expo on Thursday, the 14th of March, at the River Centre in Medway, Wharf Road in Tunbridge. It'll open its doors to welcome businesses of all shapes and sizes, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, absolutely.
From all over the West Kent, with up to 50 exhibition stands, workshops, and plenty of networking opportunities that will be the place to showcase and celebrate business across the West Kent area. You can contact expo@westkentbusiness.com for details on exhibiting and sponsorship. Attendance, they say, is free to book, so go to westkentexpo24.eventbrite.co.uk.
Fantastic. Martin Reeves has tweeted again, another great Brisbane Sprunker show. I'm off to do the school run now. We've got a load of friends coming round with their kids to go trick or treating. Happy Halloween, says.
I'm going to be battening down the hatches tonight, I think. Luckily, I live on the seafront. Nobody's brave enough to go out at night. It's far too cold and windy.
And that's my grandson, who was trick or treating at the weekend in Aimay in southwest France.
Show me. Lovely. Wow, he's getting tall, isn't he?
Yeah, bless him. Right, what you got, Jules?
Marsh Network have got their next meeting of breakfast at Base Point with the Marsh Network. It's at 7:45 a.m. It's on Tuesday, the 14th of November, and it's available to book. Go to marshnetwork.co.uk. A full English will be served, and they also have vegetarian and vegan options. And also, you can request those, of course. Just email me after booking. So Base Point is a great location, they say, next to the M20 Junction
Shearway
to Folkestone.
Shearway Business Park.
Yeah, M20 Junction to Folkestone. You live in Folkestone, don't you?
Yeah.
With good connections to Dover, Ashford, Maidstone, Romney Marsh and beyond. So go to marshnetwork.co.uk to book that. They've done a lot in Folkestone, haven't they, Sue?
Like the old high street.
The creative... Yes. Quarter. It's a good idea, and it's love lovely. That little area there.
It's lovely there, down the old high street and then down onto the Harbour Arm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
beautiful.
Then there's a market I discovered. Is it a Sunday market? Is that still
I
on?
No. Okay.
There's a little where the railway station is.
Oh,
is that
yes.
the Harbour Arm?
Yes, on the Harbour Arm, yes.
Yeah,
that's right,
so there's a little market. I've found bread and things there and like arty things.
Yeah, and lovely food and local beer and wine. And
yes, and there's a lovely Italian just on the right in the Creative Centre as you go under that banner on the right, and they allow dogs.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, and Darcy stole a meatball off the table.
Oh,
typical.
Perfect.
I didn't realise that dogs, you know, at all. I hadn't ever had a tall dog before.
It tried to get food off my bloody kitchen table as well.
Yeah, well, wise dog.
Your dog. Yeah, yes. Your dog.
Wise did. Dog. Very wise.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because they're tall, aren't they? Can just swipe it off as they go by.
Two of my lovely friends, Ella Brocklebank and Cheryl Causeway, who are ladies in construction, they are running the Kent Construction Charity Ball this year in aid of their charity, Donations with a Difference. There's a drinks reception, a three-course meal, raffle and auction, DJ and dance floor. It's happening on Friday the 24th of November. And because it's Ella and Cheryl, it's 7 p.m. until 2 a.m. party animals, those two, aren't they?
2 a.m., yeah, love it.
Yeah. You can book a table for one person or 10. If you want to find out more or book a table, which of course you do, if you can drop them an email at trustees@dwad.org. trustees@dwa.org. All proceeds from the Kent Construction Charity Ball are going to Donations with a Difference, which is their charity. Jules.
British Finance Week 2023 is coming to Maidstone. It's the British Business Bank, and they've chosen Maidstone to host a workshop which explores finance options to help businesses grow. Not all debt is bad debt, and debt is an integral part of the business life cycle, and British Business Bank is here to show you why. It's Tuesday the 7th of November, so that's next week, at the Business Terrace in Maidstone, and you can join this exciting event to hear from a panel of experts about using good debt to help your financial planning. And you will discover how to ensure that debt is used actively for growth rather than reactively to tackle problems. So that's British Finance Week. I think Sue will be pricking up her ears for that. It's in Maidstone, Tuesday the 7th of November at 9 a.m. And to book, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you'll find all details there.
It's taking place at the Business Terrace, which is at the council offices in King Street.
And they can book on your Kent Business Radio website.
kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. There's a link there to book.
And a Kent pub that was almost turned into flats has been named in the top four places to drink in the county. Or in the country, in fact. There's an R in there. The Nelson's Arms in Tunbridge has reached the final four of Camera's National Pub of the Year awards after clinching the regional title. So that was going to be flat. So well done, the Nelson's Arms in Tunbridge.
Right. Guess what? We've reached the end of another show.
Have we really?
We have indeed, yeah.
It's gone very quickly.
You can put your spit guard back on your mic. And now I've got to clean the bits out of there.
Yeah, no, I don't spit.
Bits of chocolate biscuit that I've got in my microphones now.
Just be homeopathy in there. That'd be fine.
That'd be fine. Yeah, yeah, cure people that don't even know they've got anything wrong with them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests that brought some decorum and professionalism and some proper behaviour to this show. Thank you, Sue Rathmel of MHA Accountants, VAT Tax Specialist in the travel and charity sectors. Thank you so much, Sue. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with your sponsorship at the Kent Business Awards, and we will see you at the Kent Event Centre for that. To the absolutely wonderful Maria Wilson of Saxon HR, who's told us about her stunning first year in business and looking forward to her second year with anticipation and a sense of growth and taking off even more. So Maria, thank you so much for joining us. To the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin for being a pain in the backside, as normal. Most of all, thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed and wrote in. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Stay safe. And we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.